Thank you for tuning in to our broadcast on this Lord's Day, and I'm conscious today that the broadcast is not only going out to our congregation in John Knox Memorial, but also to the congregation in Newton Arch. And both congregations in recent times there have been bereavements, and this morning in this Lord's Day we want to offer our sympathy in the John Knox congregation to our elder, our brother Robert Ferris, and to his sons Robert, Andrew and Noel, and their families on the passing of Robert's wife Margaret yesterday. And we do pray that the Lord, or rather on Friday, we do pray that the Lord will draw near to the family and be with them even in this week ahead. And we're thankful for the testimony that our sister Margaret has left behind over many years. We also, with regard to the Newton Arch congregation, offer our sympathy to your brother, Mr. Mervyn Livingstone, and his family on the passing of his wife, Vida, and that funeral, of course, took place during the week that has passed. And they know that our brother appreciates also the prayers of the Lord's people. With regard to returning to worshipping in the house of God, our presbytery has met on Friday evening past and the Friday evening before. And while, of course, I would love to be able to say we'll be back in the Lord's house next Lord's Day, it would seem we'll be probably the first Lord's Day in March, God willing. And in the will of the Lord, even the week before that, we hopefully will be able to meet even in our midweek service. So do even pray that the Lord will so undertake that we certainly will be able to be in the house of God again early in the month that is to come. We're turning this morning to the book of Exodus and to the chapter 14. The book of Exodus and the chapter 14. And we want to read some verses in this chapter. It does, of course, bring before us the children of Israel, as they had come out of Egypt and they were at the Red Sea, and of course the Egyptians had pursued them, and yet God did something miraculous in parting the waters of the Red Sea that they might pass over on dry land. And of course the Lord dealt with the Egyptians at the same time. And we're reading here in Exodus 14, and the opening verse says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pi Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land. The wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled. And the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot, and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots, and all the chariots of Egypt, and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea, beside Pi Hahiroth before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And we'll end the reading there, the verse 16, the when the Lord will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. We're going to seek the Lord just a moment of prayer as we come to consider his word today. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy day. We thank thee for thy word. We thank thee that again, wherever we turn in the scriptures, that there is a word for us, a word in season, a word that is applicable to us as individuals in our walk with thee and even in the work of God. And we do today remember those who have been bereaved, that they will know thy comfort and thy grace in a special way. Lord, thou dost know exactly how they're feeling this very day. And we pray that thou will draw near, and that thou will even bless the testimony that your people who have passed on have left behind, that it may speak to others, that they may come to know the Savior. Come now and minister to your hearts through thy word, remembering others who are laid aside and need a touch from thee today, that thou will meet their needs as well, that thou will have mercy upon our land and upon our nation. And we do ask that very soon we will be gathering again and assembling in the public place of worship. So, Lord, we look to thee. Draw near to us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. This chapter, of course, records a very momentous event in the history of the people of Israel. When God did part the waters of the Red Sea, so his people could walk through in the midst of the sea upon dry ground, and then God caused the waters to return and to destroy Pharaoh and the Egyptian army. And this miraculous demonstration of God's power is often recalled in the record of the Word of God. For example, in Nehemiah 9, in verse 9, you will read of how the Levites, they called the people to stand up and bless the Lord. And they highlighted, among other things that God had done, how God had seen the affliction of their fathers in Egypt, and he had heard their cry at the Red Sea. And in verse 11 of Nehemiah 9, they recall how God had divided the sea before them. In the Psalms, for example, Psalm 136, there is a call to give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. And many examples of his mercy are recounted, and among them mention is made of the dividing of the Red Sea into parts, making Israel to pass through the midst of it, but overthrowing Pharaoh and his host. We turn to the New Testament, and again we find this event recalled and recounted. In Acts 7 and 36, when Stephen was speaking before the council, he made reference to God bringing his people out of Egypt after he had shown wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea. Hebrews chapter 11, the chapter that records that heroes of the faith, Hebrews 11 and 29 states that it was by faith that Israel passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. And in 1 Corinthians 10, when Paul wrote of all their fathers passing through the Red Sea, and along with other events in the history of Israel, he teaches that all these things happened to them for examples. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. And therefore, when we come to consider the events surrounding God bringing Israel through the Red Sea and destroying the Egyptians, there are lessons which apply to our lives this very day. And so we simply want to draw some lessons from this portion of the Word of God, particularly focusing in upon the verses 13 to 15 of Exodus 14. The verses 13 to 15, where Moses spoke to the people in the name of the Lord, and the Lord also spoke to Moses. And from this portion, we note, first of all, the problem of fear. In verse 13, Moses said unto the people, and he was speaking to them a word from God, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." Fear ye not. Now, we do well to consider the context in which these words were spoken, considering what it was that had caused the people of Israel to be afraid. In chapter 13, and the verse 17, we learn that when Pharaoh had let the people of Israel go from Egypt, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, though that was dear. God had a purpose, and he led the people in verse 18 of chapter 13 through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And when we move into chapter 14, we discover that God revealed to Moses that Pharaoh was going to follow after them. And God was going to be honored and cause the Egyptians to know that he was truly the Lord. You see, God works all things for his glory. And in the verse 5 of this chapter 14, you will discover that the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against Israel, and that they regretted letting Israel go. And so Pharaoh took his chariot and people, his army, which included 600 chosen chariots, and pursued the people of Israel. Let me read verse 5 of Exodus 14. "And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him." And then, of course, we read of how the people of Israel encamped there by the Red Sea. They lifted up their eyes, and they saw Pharaoh and his armies pursuing them. And the sight of all the horses and chariots, the horsemen and the army which overtook Israel, camping by the sea, caused the people of Israel to be sore afraid and to cry out to the Lord. Look at verse 10. "And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord." Now, from a human perspective, we might say this fear was natural. Sadly, the fear led the people to speak against Moses, and to speak as if it would have been better to have stayed in Egypt, which meant they were speaking against God, as he was the one who brought them out. Moses was what the leader under God, sent by God. And you will find there that in verse 11, they said to Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt?" And yet when they were in Egypt, they were crying out to be delivered. The problem of fear is a very real problem, even for God's people, in all ages, and in many different circumstances in life. Proverbs 29 and 25, there we read that the fear of man bringeth a snare, but by way of contrast, whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. We need not fear if we're trusting in the Lord. The Lord Jesus in Matthew 10 and 28 exhorted his disciples not to fear them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather to fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Remember in 1 Samuel 17, you will read in verse 11 of Saul and all Israel and the armies being dismayed and greatly afraid when Goliath the Philistine defied them and challenged them. Many different circumstances and situations, maybe this very day, in your life at home, maybe in the workplace, in society generally, even in the work of God, it may bring fear to your heart. But God had a message through Moses for the people in the midst of the situation which brought fear to their hearts, a message which we can apply to our situations. And the message was, fear ye not. Many times in the Word of God, there is this call to the people of God which says, fear not. From the opening book of Genesis, where I read in Genesis 15 and 1 of God speaking to Abram, telling him not to fear, right through to the last book of the Bible, Revelation, and the chapter 1, the verse 17, where the risen, glorified Christ spoke to John on the Isle of Patmos, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last. There are words of comfort to God's people, calling us not to fear in all the different circumstances of life. And we can take these calls not to fear in the Word of God to our hearts. We can pray over them. We can meditate upon them. We can lean upon them. We can share them with one another. We can pray them back to the Lord. And when we are afraid, we should cry unto the Lord. In 2 Timothy 1 and 7, as Paul wrote to Timothy, he wrote, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. If we are trusting in Christ, we need not fear. There's a lot of talk about the fear of the virus at present. But of course, we're to trust in the Lord. If you're not saved, of course you do well to fear. To fear the great eternity. And you need to turn from your sin and trust in Christ for salvation. The problem of fear. But from the problem of fear, I want us to move on and consider here again in Exodus 14 the promise for the fight. You see, it was clear to the people of Israel that Pharaoh and his armies had come to fight against them, to bring them back to the bondage of Egypt. And no doubt the people of Israel, they felt weak from a human perspective. They didn't have all the chariots and horses and weapons to match those of the Egyptian army. But Moses spoke to them to tell them to stand still and to see the salvation of the Lord. They were told that the Egyptians would be destroyed. They would see them no more forever because the Lord would fight for them. Look here at Exodus 14, verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. And he didn't just end the message there. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Verse 14, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. So, there's not only the problem of fear, there's the promise for the fight. And while God often, of course, works through human means, on this occasion, in Exodus 14, the Lord would fight for Israel in such a manner that they would not have really to fight. But of course they were called to obey the Lord. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Now today we, of course, as God's people, are in a spiritual warfare against the Word. That is the spirit of the Word, which is opposed to God. Against the flesh, remaining sin within us. And against the devil and his angels, the powers of darkness. The devil who tempts us and seeks us to hinder us in our walk with God and our work for him. And while, of course, we are to resist the devil, as James 4 and 7 exhorts us, and to fight the good fight of faith, as 1 Timothy 6 and 12 exhorts us, and to take to yourselves the whole armor of God, as Ephesians 6 instructs us, we are to engage in spiritual warfare, pleading and depending upon the promise that the Lord fights for us. He strengthens us. He enables us. On the cross, he triumphed over principalities and powers. You will read that in Colossians 2 and 15. Paul wrote the words of Romans 8. In verse 31, he wrote, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" You know, when Israel were told that they would see the Egyptians no more forever, here in Exodus 14, I thought of that day in the future, spoken of in Revelation 20 and 10, where we read, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." And when that day comes, the devil will never be able to bother the child of God again. Never able to tempt us again. Never able to hinder us again. The promise for the fight, of course, reminds us, if we're saved, that one with God is a majority. God, as he promised, did fight for the people of Israel against the Egyptians and give them victory. If you look here at Exodus 14 down to the verse 25, we read of how God took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel." They recognized, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And you see, the Lord then said unto Moses in verse 26, "Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen." And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. The Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Verse 30 says, "The Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians." Verse 31, Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Back in verse 22, Israel had went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground. The waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. The promise for the fight, the Lord promised that through Moses he would fight for them. And the Lord fulfilled that promise. May we be enabled daily to take to ourselves the whole armor of God, that we may be able to withstand in this evil day, and having done all to stand. We all desire, if we're saved, to, at the end of our days upon earth, to be able to say with the Apostle Paul, "I have fought a good fight." Of course, if you're not saved, you're on the wrong side of the fight. You need to submit to God, to acknowledge your sin, to call on him for salvation. There's one final thought here in Exodus 14. We've considered the problem of fear. We've considered the promise for the fight. But I want you in the final place to consider the pressing on or the progress required of Israel. I've already said that there was that sense in which on this occasion they didn't have to fight, as the Lord fought for them. But when you look at verse 15, it's clear that Moses had been crying to the Lord about the situation, because the Lord said unto Moses, "Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forth and lift up thy rod," and so on. Prayer is very important. Moses had been crying to the Lord. But while prayer is most important and vital, and we have to pray first, there has to then be a putting of feet to your prayers in faith that what God has said he will do. For Israel, it was time to go forward toward the sea before them, which God would divide and bring them across. God requires us to keep going forward, to keep progressing in our walk with him, in our work for him, in our warfare against the world and the flesh and the devil. The hymn writer penned the words based on this passage in Exodus 14, "Then forward still, 'tis Jehovah's will. Though the billows dash and spray with a conquering tread, we will push ahead. He'll roll the sea away. And do not many seas of difficulty come before us in life? And yet we must keep going forward as the Lord's people. You can take the time to read 2 Chronicles 20. And in the verse 17 of that chapter, it was the days of Jehoshaphat, and the people were given a similar message to what Moses gave to the people of Israel in their passage. And they were told, "Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." May God enable us not to turn back, but to keep going forth as individuals in our walk with God, and even collectively in our congregations in the work of God. You see, in Psalm 78 and 9, you can read of the children of Israel, or the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, yet they turned back in the day of battle. That is not turn back, that is keep going forward. Our Savior set his face steadfastly to go to Jerusalem to fight the greatest battle of all on the cross for his people. We desire to be conformed to his end. And so may the Lord bless these thoughts to your hearts this morning. As his people, as we think of the problem of fear, may we remember the Lord has said, "Fear not." When we remember the promise for the fight, the Lord is with us. He fights for us and with us against our foes. And may we also remember that progress, that pressing on that is required of us. Let us press on with the Lord. And if you're not saved, turn from your sin. Trust in Christ for salvation and begin to live for him. Thank you for tuning in this morning. May God bless his word to all our hearts.